Give it a second.
I'm going to follow your lead.
Okay.
Inshallah. Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad. This evening on Religion Means Alive, and I have the honor of having Kimberly Kalima from the Scheme of Things Graphics as our guest speaker today. We're going to just talk a little bit about what she does and what the Scheme of Things Graphics is and what opportunities are out there for you to get more information on her business and her projects. Assalamu alaikum, Kimberly. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking time out your busy day to join us this evening on Religion Means Alive with myself. To start off, just tell us a little bit about what the Scheme of Things Graphics is and what it entails and everything that you love about it.
Okay. Well, originally, Scheme of Things was started by my partner. He's an artist by the name of Yusuf Abdul-Jalil, and he works with digital arts and digital graphics. He actually went to college for that, and he basically noticed that there were several positive images missing in media, and this has been going on for a very, very long time. And so he started just making illustrations of women that he admired in the media or historically, and people really liked those. So it ended up being where individuals actually wanted pictures, and the response from using those illustrations for posters, for tote bags, for logos, things for businesses, it really caught on, and it gave a favorable image to counter a lot of the negative depictions that we see so often today. What I like about it personally is that I myself am a woman. When I've carried the bags that actually have the pictures on them, people will try to guess who you are, or different sisters will actually relate to them. They look like my mother. They look like me. And that's a positive thing.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's one picture, and I shared that picture with you. It reminds me of a younger picture of my grandmother who's now passed away, and every time when I first seen it, I, like, inboxed Yusuf, and I was like, oh, my God, this is like my grandmom. So I had sent him a picture of my grandmom and compared it. He was like, oh, my God, like, it does look like her. So, you know, I appreciate you guys for, you know, taking the time to do that, to capture women that are African-American and have that look and, you know, keep it out there in a positive light. So that's one thing that, you know, I felt like, you know, really hit home with me. So speaking of that, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your education, and your professional accolades and so forth.
Well, by day, I'm just a customer service rep at a large drink provider. And all of my spare time is spent giving service back. That's what makes me happy. And so I don't have an art degree. I admire art by way of my father. He was actually a painter, a sketcher, acrylics, all that stuff I saw growing up. So artistic expression is very, very familiar to me, and it's what I know. I actually participate in a lot of like local community activism things. I write and I sing, but I believe this coming together to push forth a collective cause is very needed is what got me tied in.
And that's very interesting, you know, like, you know, a lot of people think, oh, if you have like a art background and so forth like that, then that's what draws you in to, you know, a certain field or a certain area. And that's not necessarily always the truth. You know, you could be in one field and something happens in your life that draws you to another. I have purchased a couple of things from Yusuf over the years. I have one of the Scheme of Things Graphics canvas bags that I carry and things like that. And people are like, oh, that's different. Like, I've never seen that before. And also keeping with Islam and, you know, different things, rules and regulations that we have, many of the depictions don't have, you know, facial features and eyes. So that's another thing that, you know, a lot of people appreciate. Speak to us a little bit about, like, who are the individuals that that you guys like to capture? Like, what is it specifically that draws you into a specific person that you want to capture or, you know, feature for the scheme of things?
One thing that I know that I see a lot of is just women in everyday life. There's a specific fear that is given to women that are covered. There's a mystery. There's a situation where you have the media that for several years has portrayed something demonic or frightening or even oppression that really push the, if she has something on her head, then she, her brain is paralyzed. She cannot think. So when we see images of women who appear to be confident, they appear to be happy, and they look like someone that you would see next door, that's a ringer. Someone, you feel a vibrancy in their image. Also, there are women, picture we have done, like Sister Aisha Adawiya with Women in Islam, and Linda Sarsour, women who are actually making strides. They're on the forefront. They speak up for other women, and they are covered, and they are proud. So people who are also a good representative, because it's almost like Dawah. You see this lady, and you see what she's doing, and she's not quiet. She's not in the closet. She's not afraid. They have class. They have grace, and they are also very, very capable of their abilities while they respect other people. That's another thing that would push forward an illustration of someone.
Yeah, and I noticed that. I got that, like, right off the back when, you know, I see a lot of the illustrations. And another thing that I picked up on, because I analyze things a lot, like sometimes I overanalyze things, I appreciated that there wasn't one particular type of sister or woman that was captured. You have sisters that are captured in array of complexions and array of styles of how they wear their hijab, and, you know, different aspects. Like, you know, you have some that are smaller in stature and some that are bigger in stature. So I picked that up right away. Is that something that, you know, you try to focus on? Like, you don't look at one particular type of person. You look at diversity of women.
You know what? It matters. We are an Ummah, and it's every color, every race, every nationality, every financial background. There are people who came to Islam, and when you're speaking to all of those people, words don't have a color. They just have a resonance. And so, inshallah, we pray that the illustrations have that same resonance, that they can not only touch you by identifying with a complexion or a style, but the grace and the modesty that's required of a Muslima is also felt.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely get that from all of the illustrations. One thing that I know hits home to me is that I also seen a depiction of sisters that are over the age of 50 per se, that you guys focused in on. And I just speak on a little bit about that, because, you know, like, everybody, you know, in this day and time, you know, people are living longer. And we also have to realize that our ancestors and our elderly relatives and so forth do have a voice in the community, and that, inshallah, one day we will also grow old and be in that position, and, you know,
inshallah,
in the same reverence as we keep, you know, our elderly in today. So speak a little bit about how you look to different segments of age. Like, what are you trying to capture in each age group? Who are those people that you're trying to capture?
Well, first of all, we must say that we respect everyone, okay? And so the pictures that you see of the elders, that reminds us that they've been where we've been. They have learned and they understand where we're trying to go. You can not only look to them in an illustration, you can look to them for guidance. Things come in trends, up and down, good and bad, but they've learned to weather the storm. And if you sit and listen to them, sometimes they have something to offer that you may be able to use, inshallah, in the future. We also have pictures of young Muslimas. They need some help too. You know, everybody needs a little bit of guidance, whether it's covering, whether it's adab. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know if they're reverts, whether they're not, whether they grew up Muslim and they kind of went to college and fell off. it should be something encouraging in every illustration that you see.
Absolutely. And
yeah, we just want to show the range, you know, the range of the UMAP, everyone included.
Absolutely, because there's like, you know, we have from 8 to 80, as I say, one of my sayings, you have from 8 months old up to 80 years
mm-hmm.
old. You know, our community is living longer. Like, we have a lot of centennials, people living over the age of 100.
Yes.
And, you know, we have to remember that they are a part of our community, and, you know, we can't just tuck them away in the corner somewhere, that they have been the forefront of our generation leading the path for us. So we have to keep them, you know, and reminiscent of, you know, where we're trying to go and what we're trying to achieve. So that's greatly appreciated. I love elderly people. I don't want to say old people, because old people, that's just not politically correct. I love elderly
yeah.
people. I love elderly people. I love people who are seasoned, as I should say. I love seasoned
yeah.
people, because they definitely have a story to tell, as well as, you know, the younger middle age and the
mm-hmm.
younger UMA. We all have a story to tell. So
yeah.
how is it that someone gets an illustration done, or how is it that someone can purchase one of the products? Because I know you guys do bags, you do, like, you know, screens that you could do, a variety of things. So speak a little bit about that and how we can get, you know, purchase those items.
Well, first of all, and thank you for allowing me again, we do have a website that everyone can go and visit and actually look to see what we have to offer, our, like a virtual gallery of collected pieces from the last few years, even some more recent ones, as recent as the last 1 or 2 weeks. But it's at www.schemaofthingsgraphics.artistwebsites.com. That's kind of long, but it's www.schemaofthingsgraphics.artistwebsites.com. Can you hear me?
Yep, I hear you.
You can hear me now? Okay, all righty. That's where you can actually view the images. You can purchase them. You can have the images set for canvas, for tote bags. We have telephone covers. We have greeting cards. Whichever way that you would like to use that illustration to convey a message or use it just to admire, we have that available. We also have a Facebook page. You can just put Schema Things in your search bar on Facebook, or www.facebook.com/Schema Things. We're also on Pinterest, and we're also on Twitter. We're everywhere.
All social networks.
Yes, yes. One thing I also wanted to mention, too, regarding art has been around in Islam for a very, very long time. And actually, if you go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art website, they mention that examining works of art from the Islamic world helps students regarding their national learning. It infuses geometry, arts, and science. That's very, very important. We'd like to include what we have to offer as well, especially modern-day teaching. We may not be able to sit next to everyone who's got an issue with the woman with her head covered. However, they may see the illustration in a logo. They may see it on a bag. They may see it in a poster and make that group of people a lot more approachable. And there are also sisters who, it reinforces who they are and where they're trying to go in their life by seeing images that reflect themselves as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, I noticed that, like, when I look at it, it's not, like, each photo has a story to tell behind it. Even though there may not be a caption with it, you can tell, like, I mean, just me being the analytic type person, I can see that each picture has a story to tell, that there's a story behind it.
Yeah.
Do you provide, like, a story or a caption behind each one of the graphics that you do, like a brief bio on a person that you have captured?
We haven't specifically. If you go to the website, the artist's website, there are some summaries written on each one, but I would say 90 to 95% is actually someone you probably know. You were actually one of our models. Lots of people that are on Facebook, social media, they are real people. And that was another thing. They aren't just images that we're making up. These are real people that we say depicted in their life. Every so often we will feature one. Sometimes we'll post some in different groups and we'll tag them and let their friends know. I have one made of myself that I particularly like, and I will put that up every so often. But, yeah, you're looking at real women in real everyday lives.
And it's just so I want to say it's awe inspiring to see yourself like in that graphic, because when Yusuf did mine, I was just like, he was like, all right, I'm just going to look. I'm not going to tell you what picture I'm going to pick. I'm going to just pick one. This was probably like 3 or 4 years ago. He's like, I'm going to just pick one, and I'm going to do it and then see how you like it. And when I seen it, I was like, oh, my God, it looks just like me. Like, it's real. Like you said, it's real people. It's a real person. And
you see how reinforcing that felt for you. You know, you're like, look at me. And so someone somewhere has been to our site and saw you. It was like, wow, mashallah, that's a beautiful cover, sister, you know? So there's no telling who you influence positively by reaching out to us for a depiction as well.
Oh, mashallah. You know, I try to support everybody and, you know, try to, you know, help out the community as a whole. That's just one of my, that's one of my things that I try to do as much as possible. So again, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time out your schedule, you know, to, you know, do this interview and to be on Religion Means a Lot. You know, we try to reach different genres of people from no matter what your background is, what your history is, we're trying to get the word out there to the community as a whole, to anybody who's listening in on the call. You know, this is something that we do. We're trying to, you know, promote different businesses. We're trying to promote different people who have a variety of things going on here. So we're not just promoting things that literally pertain to religion. I mean, that's the title of the show. That's, you know, Iman Alford's show and how he formulated this. But we're just trying to get newer people out there. We're trying to get the younger generation, baby boomers and so forth, and, you know, Generation X, as they call it. We're trying to get everybody out there. And we're trying to promote, you know, good things out there in the community, you know, positive things. We're trying to enlighten the Ummah, get everybody to come together collectively. So that's something that I'm trying to reinforce. This is something that he's trying to reinforce, and hopefully anyone listening in on the call, you know, can spread that word. We're trying to do just something different, something new, something different for the community. So I'm going to just open up the line, see if anybody has a question for Kimberly or myself in regards to her business. You can call us in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and we'll be happy to take a call from you and answer any questions that you may have for Kimberly or myself.
I'm sorry. I wanted to ask if I could mention one more thing in appreciation of what we're doing and to try to reach a larger audience for the viewing. We actually have a GoFundMe site set up for, inshallah, a future exhibit of our own. We participated in an art event called The Art of Ramadan, and it went very well, and it was nice being with all the other artisans there. And it gave us the idea, you know what? We're going to see if we can do it ourselves and include the community, you know, because it is a voice for all of us in the Ummah to let the world see us in a brighter light. So I also wanted to mention that we do have a GoFundMe. It's GoFundMe.com/covered exhibit. And we have some more of the pictures there that we would like to include. It's not, inshallah, you know, we can all come together and make that happen.
Absolutely. And if you forward the information to me, I'll be more than happy to promote that on the page. To get the word out there, because we wanna support any and everything that the community is trying to do on a whole. Because, you know, like a lot of times they have Muslims in particular in a bad light, and they want to label us, you know, terrorists and things like that. And, you know, a lot of the good things that the Muslim community does get sidetracked and get swept under the rug, and you know, people don't focus in on it, or they bypass it and things like that. So us having this radio show and having people like yourself on the show keeps the light lit for Muslims doing positive and productive things in the community. So, again, you know, I thank you for taking the time out to be here with us. So just tell us so far, like, how long has Scheme of Things been established? Where do you see it going, the future, where it's currently at? And, you know, what do you really want to see happen with it.
Okay, well, actually, again, my partner Yusuf Abdul-Jalil has been at this for about 25 years, but it came to mind to begin the series of Covered Women to take to a larger viewing back in 2009. He started doing more pictures, requesting some to be done, showing them, posting them everywhere, sending them everywhere, just trying to get the idea out. You know, what do you like? What are you looking for? Is this authentic? That was our biggest thing. And we're hoping really that we have a reliable source of products and designs and art that are valued, you know, in purchase. And inshallah, I can evolve into a brand exemplifying a standard necessity among all consumers, but particularly Muslim women, particularly for us, you know, something just for us. So that's where we'd like to see it to go. We do have like an entrepreneurial mindset, and Islamic art has given us a better appreciation of conveying nonverbal messages, because as you know, traditional Islamic art or arabesque is more geometric. It's more like figures and designs as opposed to words themselves. So like you were saying, do they have a backdrop? When you see them, when you look at them, the message you feel is actually what we're trying to convey, and it's usually on point.
Yeah, it is, because I mean, I just love looking at the variety of, you know, graphics that you guys have. I mean, it's an awesome collection, and like you said, you have Muslim women from all over the world. I mean, you know, it's just not locally, it's just not African American, it's Muslim women from all over the world, and to see, you know, those people that I actually know, to see them in the caricature, in the graphic is just, it's awe-inspiring. It really is. I know it takes a lot of dedication and hard work. It's not just something that, oh, you copy and paste and things like that. Tell us a little bit about, like, what the actual beginning to end process is to create a graphic for someone.
Okay, well, I haven't made one, but, you know, in speaking with Yusuf, it's a very detailed process. They can take anywhere from 4 to 6 hours a piece, if not longer, depending on what the medium is that he has to work with. We also do individual illustrations. So sometimes people will send us a picture that they would like done, and if it's too dark, if it's too small, there are certain specifications that he needs in order to recreate it and get the vibrancy in it, get the pixels in it. And the images that he does produce, they're formulated to specific parameters so that they can take those images and have them put on any medium that they like I mentioned before, whether it's canvas, whether it's metal, whether it's t-shirt, whether it's poster, whatever it is that they need. But it is a delicate process that can sometimes take quite a while. Mm-hmm. And he uses a process called rotoscope. I don't know if you've ever heard that, if you look that up. One of the most major companies that uses that would be like Disney. They use it more on a comical. But he's able to let that be his tool of expression, and they become very beautiful works of art.
And yes, they do. I would have to agree. I would definitely have to agree with
that. Especially yours.
Thank you, mashallah. Yeah. I knew it wasn't something that is something that's like copy and paste, you know, for the listeners out there. There is, like, you know, when he did my picture, it wasn't something, you know, I gave him, and then like 5 minutes later he came back and gave me the illustration. It took him a couple of days, and I'm sure he had other things to do within that time, but it took him a couple of days to get it. And if anyone out there wants, you know, the illustration and conforming with Islamic law, he can do it without facial features and eyes. He has done plenty of those, and they are awesome. You can still tell who the person is even without the facial features and the eyes. You know, like you said, he has been focusing on Islamically wise, you know, the women of the Ummah, but he has done other illustrations of women that aren't Muslim, you know, that shows that he can think outside the bounds. He's not just focusing on one thing, which, you know, some people are like, oh, you should think outside the box. And he does. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in his illustration, and his work speaks for itself. He is
I want to thank
at
you.
What he does.
I want to thank you for mentioning that too, because there are people who subscribe to different things within Islam, and because we do cater to the Islamic community, we don't wish to offend anyone. And the style that you're speaking of in iconism is not practiced only in Islam, but in the three Abrahamic faiths, where you do not include eyes, nose, mouth, that type of thing, and we call it sunnah compliant. So if someone would like an image and they didn't want to have it where it went against all that they believe, they could simply request to have this on the compliant. It's very popular. There are modern works of art right now that you see in museums, and they're Christian, and they don't have faces. So you mentioned that, and we can detail it to whatever color that you want. Say there's already an existing image, and you like it, but maybe you want it for an organization. Maybe you're doing some fundraising. Maybe you're having a sister's gathering, and there's something that you would like put up or to express the mood there, and you need it just a different color, a different shade, or even a different complexion. We're able to do that as well. We really do try to cater to the authenticity of what we want to express and also make it something that the consumer really appreciates and feels like it was well worth their money.
Absolutely. I mean, the picture that he did for me, I was very satisfied with it. And, you know, I had made it my profile picture a couple of years ago. If he was like, oh, my goodness, like, who did that for you, you know? And that was, like, you know, a word of mouth, you know, promotion, you know. Oh, you know, Yusuf did that for me. Oh, can he do one of me? Sure, he can do it. Just, you know, contact him and, you know, go from there. And, I mean, the bag, like, I have the canvas bag with the graphic on it of the four Muslim women. Like you said, they're sunnah compliant. They don't have a face and eyes. And I've gotten, you know, a lot of positive feedback on it, like, oh, that's different. You know, a lot of people look for things that, you know, have, you know, Arabic writing on it or, you know, different things like the minaret and, you know, crescent star and so forth, different things that associate with Islam. But a lot of people don't know to look at something, you know, as far as what you guys are doing as far as like the image graphic, which is something totally different, can also be a form of, you know, promoting dawah. And, you know, that was the main reason for the call, as we're trying to promote dawah in a positive light within the community, and, you know, not just within the Muslim community, but on a whole, because, you know, people have such a negative image of Islam. And also, like you said earlier in the call, like, you know, we're depressed, we're oppressed, we're we're caged, we're like these caged animals that don't have a voice, we can't do anything, like, you know, we're just like treated like dogs and dirt, and, you know, it's just unbelievable how people think of us, and that could not be the case furthermore. And with these type of images in a positive, showing us positively and creatively, you know, illustrated in these graphics, I think it opens up the door for people to think of us in a more positive light. And that's just
I'd like to say also is that there actually, you know, when you go to like step B, me personally, there are two motives. One is to let the rest of the world see how beautiful, competent, capable, and reverent that Muslim women are. You see some grocery stores. We're teaching your children. We live next door to you. No reason to be afraid. So you see us. Here we go. But also, within the Muslim community, there are so many powerful, intelligent, orchestrated sisters like yourself that are handling their business. And I think within Islam, they need to be viewed in a more positive light themselves. On a local, just a base local level of people that we know, there's a spoken word artist that I think highly of, Najma 53. There's a Muslim rapper, Misunderstood, and she speaks on various issues, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's taking care of your children. It takes courage to get up in front of people to do that. That's a strong sister. And then speaking on a national level, I cannot go forward without mentioning Ilyasa Shabazz. I had the honor of being able to hear her speak, and she knocked my socks off. So we have women like this within our community. They're capable of a great many things. So while, inshallah, these pictures can influence the non-Muslims, as far as Muslims. Let's start looking at our women as the capable women that we've always been. We've been educators. We've been leaders. You can go all the way back to the Quran, you know, and read stories of the Prophet's wife, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and see how all of them had some role, and they were leaders. They were businesswomen. They were speaking on behalf of women. So I'm not sure where it came in that the Muslim women, of all the women, were supposed to sit down and be quiet and be barefoot and pregnant, but that's a whole other group of people. That's not us. So inshallah, our images will not only speak to non-Muslims, but to ourselves and kind of revive what we already know to be the prescription for Muslim women, Muslim sisters.
And I wanted to ask you, what do you think inspired you to become a part of this? Like, what was it that grabbed your attention to say, hey, I want to be a part of this. I want to, you know, put my time, energy, and effort into it. Because, you know, a lot of times people think that, you know, when you're doing something and you're not receiving, per se, a salary for it, that you don't put effort into it. And I think people work 10 times harder for stuff that's their passion. So what is it that really captured you and wanted you to be a part of what's going on with Scheme of Things?
Well, on one hand, as I mentioned before, my father's an artist. So art and artistic expression is what I know. And for myself, singing and writing poetry, that's what I know. I think, honestly, as I mentioned before, with serving the community and being an activist, offering a counter to all this negativity is absolutely revolutionary. I can't say it enough. It is absolutely revolutionary to go against the corporate big bucks who pay people millions of dollars a year to find the worst picture that they can, to write the most horrible, downtrodden story. And you can put up a picture that, in Yusuf's word, has been bootlegged all over the place because so many people are feeling that positivity. So many people say that speaks for me. So that's what reeled me in. It is a great deal of passion. I believe in the talent that's presented, and a lot of people have. We get people from all over. I live here in North Carolina, and I get inbox from people from everywhere. And like you said, all races, all backgrounds, who identify with it. So that right there, that does it for me. You feel like you're doing something good for the community. It's also a reflection of yourself. It's also something for me to show my daughters. So there's a lot in that.
Right. I have three daughters of my own. That's something that, you know, you want to promote young women, especially, you know, that women are powerful, and we do have a voice, and we do have talent. We're educated. We're motivational. We do have that innate mother caring syndrome, you know, built into us, but we're also strong. We're leaders. We're courageous and innovative. You know, like, people don't understand women are the forefront. Like, we run the houses. Like, you know, yeah, the men maintain the houses. But we run it. We run the day-to-day activities and things of that nature in it. So that's you know, something that's awesome that you do, I do, and plenty of other, you know, women who are trying to climb that ladder and break the glass ceiling on, you know, typical, stereotypical things that, you know, people have in their minds made up about women, period. And then Muslim women, period. Like you said, we can go back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, and we look at the mother of the believers, Khadija radiallahu anhu, who was a businesswoman. She was at the forefront of her time doing what she did. And, you know, we look back to those people as the inspiration, you know, for us and, you know, to prevail, you know, move forward. Now, I know also, besides doing the Scheme of Things, you do, you said your poetry and things of that nature. Speak a little bit on that. Like, what got you started with doing that type of thing?
I started reading when I was about a year and a half. So words have always been my friend. And anyone who knows me and they know the calls that I host, I am an avid communicator. And what I have found is that communication works when you're trying to relay ideas and find a meeting, a neutrality, a middle ground with people. I started writing poetry probably when I was 6 or 7 because my mom read them and said, always date them and always save them. So that's basically where I got started with my writing. It's something I've always done, something I've always known. And I was an only child, and so pen and paper were my friend. But it was a great way to express, and I read books from all over. I admire all cultures. I love different cultures, whether it's the clothing, whether it's the food. I have a sincere appreciation for all things human. And they bring people joy, so I continue.
Absolutely.
Inshallah.
Absolutely. Inshallah. That's me as well. Like I'm an open canvas to any and everything. I like to learn about different cultures and different people and things of that nature. Is it any one particular topic that you like to focus on in your poetry?
It depends. People will come to me and ask me to write about something.
Okay.
So there's a lot of my poetry is introspective. If I write it on my own, it's going to be introspective. It's about the vastness of the universe and all the beauty and the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if someone comes to me and just asks me to write something, I will detail it to whatever it is they need. Like I said, whether it's a sister event, whether it's a wedding, whatever it is. But they are able to communicate it to me, and I feel them where it's like an opposite, where a picture should be worth 1,000 words. I feel like 1,000 words should create a picture. So it goes hand in hand.
Okay, so now, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Don't be mad at me. But I want you to give us a sample or give us a piece of poetry that you have written, something that's dear to you, something that, you know, is inspirational to you and would be inspirational to us.
You know what? I wish I had been prepared for that because unlike my two sisters that I mentioned, Misunderstood and Najma 53, I don't memorize mine. I read them.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Inshallah, maybe, you know, on down the road, I might be able to revisit you and do just that. Inshallah.
Absolutely. Inshallah. See, I just had to put it out there because I wanted to see if you had something, you know, quick that you could, you know, drop on us and, you know, keep us reeling us in with the beauty of poetry. You know, people, you know, I think like with the whole graphic and the poetry and things of that nature, all that's like one big, I want to say, cohesive ball. Like all that, like you have to have certain inspiration to do what you guys do. You have to have a certain thing that you do to write poetry. Like everybody can't do it. Everybody can't do graphics, things like that. That's something that's innate, that's born within you. You know, like me, I make hummus. People be like, how did a black girl from the ghetto learn how to make hummus? Like, you know.
And I've been wanting to get some of your hummus for like over a year now. I don't know what I'm going to have to do, but you post the most delicious looking pictures. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and I'll
yes,
speak with it. Everybody know I'm not just doing this radio thing, you know, here. I work outside. I work in corporate America. I do that also. Been doing that for 23 years. But I also, you know, do hummus. I love to make hummus. And people always ask me, how in the world did you start to make hummus? Well, I like different things, like you said, as far as I'm not selective in what I eat, and I'm not selective in, like, what I do. So I'm very, I want to say, adventurous. So I like to try different things. And, you know, whether it's food or whatever have you, I'll try it once. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. So hummus was one of those things that, you know, I said, I like it. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, the taste is just not. I just don't like it. And I'm like, okay, so I did a little research on what, you know, hummus was. I was like, okay, so these beans, chickpeas, you know, I've had it in different things, and, you know, just something isn't appealing to it. So, you know, and I've been making hummus for years, like over 10 years. Like, people don't know that. I've been making it a lot of times, you know, like with my family and friends, they would always tell me to make it for events and different things like that. Like, you know, if we were having a family event or my girlfriends were having a girls' night out, they wanted me to make hummus and stuff. So, you know, like within the last 2 years, my cousin and one of my childhood friends was like, yo, Kwai, you really need to sell it. Like, your stuff is better than the store. And it's awesome. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. And I was like, oh, I just don't want to do original. And, you know, I studied up on, you know, what the bean was and how it worked and things like that. And I knew that it didn't have a particular flavor. So you could add different things. I not only have to get you some hummus, I have to get Imam Alpha some. He wants the roasted red peppers. And
okay, now, inshallah, you said this on the We Got Witnesses. It's like all kind of witnesses. But yeah, I've been trying to get some for over a year and a half, at least a year, because you were selling for, like, different fundraising. It's like, I live all the way down in North Carolina. How can I get some and going to not give me botulism? So will we work that out?
We're going to work it out.
Know, I don't know if you just realized, but you pretty much described the formula for Scheme of Things. You saw something, and you thought you could do it better. And you studied up on it, and you represented your own version, and people like it, and such is our art.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, like, I think that we as a people, especially African-Americans, I think we limit ourselves. And a lot of times we get into the mode of, oh, we can't do it because we don't have no money. And, you know, like I tell people all the time, you have money for what you want to have money for. If you take that money that you were going to spend on a concert or the next expensive pair of sneakers or shoes or pocketbook or whatever, and take that money and use it in a viable, productive way, you can make your business grow. And you can make whatever you set your – I tell people don't limit themselves. Like, don't – you know, I tell my children, don't limit yourself. If it's something that you want to do, start off small. And then once you get that market, you get those people that, you know, are really craving your product or want your product, then that's how you build on that. Like, you don't go all out at once because you might not get the audience that you're targeting. So you start out small. And then once you get your customers and your consumers of your product, then you expand on that. So, you know, like you said, that I like to think out the box and always taught my children to think out the box and do different things creatively because, you know, like when I told people, especially like a lot of people from the Mediterranean area and, you know, Arab and so forth, that I was making hummus, they looking at me like, okay. And then when I tell them, oh, these, I make over 21 flavors, they like, you can't do that. Why can't I? Why can't I do it? And I do it better than you guys. And people are, like, catching on to this. Like, people don't understand. Hummus is a good thing. It's good for you. You know, I use products. I don't use any preservatives, additives, and things like that. If you order my product, you're ordering it fresh. Like, I don't have it stored in the refrigerator somewhere, things of that nature. I make it fresh from scratch. I never use canned beans. I always use fresh, hard, raw beans, and I cook those for your order. Okay. So, you know, it's a detailed process, but it's something that I love to do, and I love to see my customers' faces, so I definitely... I'm gonna make this promise. Everybody on the air, y'all listen to this. Yes, I'm making this promise, and you know, inshallah, I keep my promise. I don't like to break promises, but I'm gonna get Kimberly somehow. I'm gonna get to her. I don't care if I gotta get some dry ice, I gotta go all the way down South Philly.
Because I need some of your hummus with some kibbeh. Those are two of my favorites. I need that in my life.
I'm gonna get some hummus for her, and I'm gonna get it down to her. And I'm also gonna get Imam out for his roasted red pepper because I know from the first time I did a call with him, he was speaking on that roasted red pepper. I just gotta get it for him. I gotta get it for y'all. And you know, I wanted to expand my business and really get it out there internationally. And I mean, because I get people from all over the country that ask me for my product. They like, look, I never seen no hummus like this. I never seen nobody even attempt to do it like this. And the flavors that you have are like awesome. Like I do a Philly cheesesteak. I do a pepperoni parmesan. I do a Thai coconut curry. I do black bean jalapeno sriracha. I do over 21 flavors. So, you know, they're not always healthy. And I tell people, no, like, you know, I do a black version, a real black version. I do black eyed pea.
Wow.
Kale and smoked turkey and a hummus.
Mm-hmm. Wow, now that is creative. That's creative. And if you were speaking on a business, you got to give people a reason to turn their head from what's already out there. So I think that's genius, coming up with those particular flavors that people are familiar with. But the texture and the offering of hummus is something completely different. But you're giving people, consumers, a reason to stop looking at what they already know and try something new.
Right, and that's the thing. Like with hummus, you can make it. The chickpea has no flavor, so whatever you infuse it with, it will absorb that flavor and that taste. So that's something that, you know, that's something that I focus on. Like I want black people to get out the habit of saying, "Oh, that don't look good. Oh, it don't taste good. Oh, I don't want it." No, like try something different. Open your minds. Experience something different. You know, and that's the same thing, like, you know, a lot of people go to, like, IKEA and they get these screen graphics and things like that. Like, step outside your box. Like, go to your website and take a look at different things. And even if you don't see something there that catches your eye, reach out to you or Yusuf or, you know, whoever that can get something that's formulated for what you like. Because it can be done. That's one thing. People fail to realize that with small businesses and things of this nature, you can get your stuff customized. Like,
yes,
it doesn't have to be, it's not on a broad scale where it's mass produced and it's either you pick A, B, or C and you have to live with it. No, like with people, that's one thing that I appreciate, having a small business or having something that's, you know, on a small scale, because you can specify what you want and how you want it and how you want to do it and so forth. You know, that's one of the plus things that you can do with a small business. Like, you can get it customized. You can put your personal touches on it. You can say, oh, I don't want it like this. I want it like that. Like I tell people when they order hummus, they're like, oh, I don't like garlic. Okay, you don't have to get garlic. Oh, I don't want no salt in it. Oh, I don't put salt in any of the products I use anyway unless you ask for it, or it's like in the Old Bay seasoning with sad salt in it. But other than that, I don't add those things. Hey, I don't like olive oil. Okay, I won't use olive oil in it then. You know, like those are the personal touches, and this is something that you get with a small business. I tell people all the time that what we need to get out of is being stereotypical. Oh, I have to go here, I have to shop here. It's so many different things, people and places and products that you can get if you only took the time. People surf on the internet all day long. They on the Facebook, they on the Instagram and so forth, but they don't take the time to go out to people's personal websites and things of that nature, if it's not, you know, scandalous and all kinds of craziness attached to it. They really don't want to, you know, be involved like WorldStar. They'll go on WorldStar. They'll go directly to WorldStar and all that other nonsense. But, like, with your website or my website or whoever website, people need to really take the time out to appreciate those things, because we put our time and energy into those things. And also, we not just put our time and energy into it, we put a little piece of ourselves into it, which I think gives it a greater perspective on the next business. Like, those people are mass producing this. I'm doing this personally myself. I'm taking my time, my energy, and my love to put into a product so that you can be pleased with it. So, I mean, that's just, you know, awesome that, you know, we we have these different types of things. So, again, I want you to take the time to go ahead and put your information out there, how people can get in contact with you, how people can get, you know, access to the website for Scheme of Thing Graphics to be able to purchase products or even view the collage of graphics that you currently have out there.
Okay. Well, again, on Facebook, we're easily found. Just in the search bar, you can type Scheme of Things, and we should pop up. It's a red and white brand, or red and white banner. And if not, www.facebook.com/Scheme of Things will bring you to us as well. Our virtual art gallery, where you can go and view and also purchase in pretty much any format that you'd like, would be the www.schemeofthingsgraphics.artistwebsites.com. And that allows you to see the different collections that we have and the different media, along with the prices. There are a lot of individuals, and actually about 3 or 4 sisters just contacted me yesterday, who are interested in just portraits for themselves, or maybe of a family member or of a child. They can reach out to me, Kimberly Kalima Songstress, and I am located on Facebook, or Yusuf Abdul-Jabril. He is also on Facebook. On our Facebook page, you can send a message there. So we're available all over the place if that's something that you're interested in. And you send us what you'd like. We let you know if we can work with that. We agree on a price for that to you and get an invoice out and get it turned back into you. So it's a very easy process. It normally doesn't take any longer than 3 to 5 business days. And again, we're also on Twitter, the Scheme of Things, and we're also on Pinterest for Scheme of Things. And we're also on Instagram, Scheme of Things.
If people want to contact you for like a personal poetry or anything of that nature, how can they get in contact with you?
I'm on Facebook, Kimberly Kalima Songstress. They can hit me on my inbox. I'm a very friendly person. My email address on Google is just KimberlyKalima@gmail.com, or weareteamuma@gmail.com. And anything something that's good for the community, any type of community organizing, any kind of activism, any kind of volunteering, I love participating in that, and I also love spreading the word because a lot of people are looking for good things to do for one another.
And that's thank you. And, you know, going forward on Saturdays, that's what I'm going to try to formulate the show about on Saturdays, doing exactly like what I'm doing with you, featuring someone from the community that has something positive to offer to us, you know, not only locally, but, you know, nationally, worldwide, however, because we get people from all over the world who are listening into the show. We want people to know that, you know, we're here, we're positive, we're doing things, and we're getting our name out there in the community so that, you know, we can keep things rolling in a productive manner.
Yes,
you know, that's what the show is going to try to be about on Saturdays, promoting small businesses. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you have a roofing business, if you're, you know, if you teaching, you know, dance to young girls, whatever have you, we want to feature you here on the show to get your name out there in the community so that people are aware. Because a lot of times people don't know what's available to them until someone promotes it. And then they're like, oh, okay, I know about them. Oh, yeah, I heard about them. Oh, you know, yeah, you know, the sister had them on the show, so I know how to get in contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what I'm trying to do as far as, you know, trying to be redirective and keep it positive and enlightening as well. You know, not just, you know, oh, have somebody on the show and they talk and things like that. I want people to understand that there's a passion behind this. We're not just doing it. Dinner. We could be out hanging out with our friends. We could be doing something with our children and families and so forth. But we're trying to do something that's positive, something that's productive for the Ummah first and foremost. We're not, you know, trying to take away from anything else, but we're trying to, you know, keep it positive and keep it enlightening for, you know, everyone to understand, you know, what our key issues and what our key goals are. Here at Religion Means Alive. Anything you want to close out with?
I wanted to mention this one other thing too, since you did mention the poetry. There is a conference call that we have hosted for about Yusuf and I for about 4 years called the Friday Freestyle Call. And our email for that is FridayFreestyleCall@gmail.com. We've recently instituted the last Friday of the month, a call-in for anyone who wants to do poetry or spoken word or recitation. So another positive way for Muslims to get together and speak on different topics, but we just express it through art. I wanted to also put that out there as well.
Thank you so much. And I was just notified that we have a caller from area code 513. Hello, caller from 513. You're on.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
This is your brother Salim out of Cincinnati. How are you guys doing today? Are you sisters doing today?
Hey, Salim. Hey, Salim.
What's going on? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to chime in because I heard a conversation with a sister. I didn't get her name because I kind of came in late on the show. But I just wanted to know both your opinion on what the brothers need to do to support the sisters when they're elevating their game and getting into their business mode. What we as brothers can do outside of following Quran and Sunnah to help facilitate and promote sisters who are doing their thing and have businesses. What can we do as brothers to help with that in that area?
Well, the sister that's online now, her name is Kimberly Kalima. And Kimberly, you know, since you're the guest here on the show, I'll let you answer that.
Okay. I will say that if you're a sister that you know and you recognize certain talents and abilities and you feel like it could be a benefit to your business and you know that there's something you have to offer that could be mutually beneficial as well, coach her, encourage her, provide a platform for whatever talent or whatever skill she has. I think that's the best way to do it. So if you own a business, you know a sister who's a really good organizer, you know someone who's good at promoting, if you know someone who's good at any type of skill and that would work for you and also add experience for her, that's a go. Give them mutual respect and, of course, keep the proper respect between one another. But that could be the thing that boosts you up. She does something that could help your business. You do something to help hers. And you've seen the quality of her work. You know, make sure that she's on what she's talking about. And you can discuss and combine, and there you go. And that also helps the Ummah, not only just the two.
Absolutely. I'll keep my two cents out of it. Anything else you wanted to say, Salim?
Wait, yeah, this is your show. We need your change. Can't do that. Your show.
You want me to give my two cents? Well, no. I'm not. I just think that collectively, you know, as a Ummah, first and foremost, and secondly, as you know, being Muslim, we have to get out of the stereotype of, you know, oh, they're going to be bigger than me, or oh, they're doing it better than me. I think once we get out of that situation, and then we have next Sunnah compliant, because you know if you're dealing with a sister, you need to, you know, basically go through her husband if she's married and so forth. Mm-hmm. But you know, once all those avenues are clear, you know, you work together and try to uplift one another instead of competing against one another. And that's the only way that I know that we can become collectively and become one Ummah, and then, you know, positively reinforce that not only within ourselves but within our children, the next generation. Because if they don't understand what our directives are and what we're trying to accomplish, they're still going to be blind. So, you know, once we're able to put our side feelings to the side and work collectively, we're still going to be in the same situation we're going to be in till today. And it's just going to negatively affect generation after generation. So that's just my two cents on it.
I'm gonna have to drop the mic for you, because I will say that is a very, very important thing. I myself am a single woman, but if I work with brothers, it makes me feel really good when I'm able to talk with the wife. I'm able to let her know what I'm about, and we can comfortably go forward in whatever appropriate business dealings that we have. So that's one thing I actually seek out especially if it's like face-to-face dealings or something, I need to go know your people, because that's a team, right? And that's respect.
Yep, absolutely. So before we close out, I just want to give you the floor to be able to say anything in closing, something that you want to get out there before we end the call. I'm going to leave it open to you to lead us out of here.
Okay, well, first, I would like to thank yourself and Brother Alfred for giving us this opportunity, this platform, to speak about what we love, you know, the art and representing the Ummah, specifically the most recognizable part of Islam, the covered women. And may Allah reward you for your efforts and continue to provide avenues for your success. Ameen. I want to reiterate that we do have a GoFundMe project at www.gofundme.com/covered exhibit, where we're featuring some of our art, and we're trying to garner support from the community to actually represent the community in our own exhibit. And just be thoughtful. Think of all of the what history has told us about Muslim women and what we were encouraged as far as learning and going forth. We represent that, and we want to represent that for so many people. So when you see our pictures, if you're not Muslim, think of those Muslim women, how normal they are, how regular they are, how capable your own women are. That's us. And inside of Islam, recognize a lot of these women for their intelligence and their abilities that they have. We are all in this together, in one Ummah, Team Ummah.
I'd just like to say something in closing is to invite you all tomorrow at 3 o'clock to listen to a lecture that I will be giving from 3 to 5, and also to say you wonderful sisters and your marvelous audience have done a tremendous job, and I have to say all praise is due to the Creator of the heavens and earth. I love this program because we're mixing it up. We're not of any particular community. Everybody, I think, in the world pretty much knows where I stand. I'm a person that graduated from the Nation of Islam, graduated from the FOI class, and have come into the universal understand of Islam as is given in the Quran, and the life example, Uswa, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I'm also very concerned with the conditions of African American people, as I'm concerned with other people, but I'm first concerned with my own people. So I just thank you all for coming and listening, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow. And I'm just delighted to hear you two sisters kick it.
Thank you, Imam Alfred. I appreciate it. And before we close out, I just want to first thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this opportunity to be able to talk on these different platforms and to, you know, put out there, you know, different things that, you know, the women, we do have a voice, and we're not these coveted creatures that don't have a voice and don't have an opinion. And, you know, as I stated, we run the households, we run the homes, so we have to make sure that our home structure is secured and we have a firm foundation before we can build forth and, you know, build outwards into the communities and so forth. So I just thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me this opportunity, and, you know, I'm thankful to, you know, Imam Alfred for allowing me to speak on these various platforms and to talk about various issues, things that are plaguing the Ummah and the African community as a whole. So look forward to, you know, speaking with everyone on Religion Means Alive going forward. I'll be on Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, and we have various topics that we'll speak on. Monday's show is about polygyny, and for those of you who don't know what that means, that is the Islamic way of a husband having more than one wife. We'll speak on that topic on Monday at 7, so that should be a hot topic that everyone is craving to listen to and to get more education on, and I thought it was something that needs to be spoken on. So on that note, I will sign off. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you again for joining me, Qadira Aisha Muhammad, and Kimberly Kalima on Religion Means Alive. Thank you, and have a great evening.
MashaAllah. All right.